Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
You're back with Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. A picture is worth a thousand words, but what about a map? KMOX's Debbie Monterey spoke with Andy Hahn about his new book, Mapping St. Louis, A History of the Gateway City in 40 Rare Maps. It begins with a map from 1780 credited to Auguste Chouteau.
Now, how much of that map did he do himself and how much was he copying other people? It's probably a mix, but you know, he was well placed because he had been here since day one. So he really knew how the city was laid out, and our street design and grid is attributed to him and Pierre Laclede. So he was well placed to know the city's geography and what the city looked like.
Yeah, it's pretty blank, obviously, in 1780 yeah. compared to what it would be in just a few years. But the other thing that I wanted to ask was, I had never heard it said St. Louis of the Illinois.
So this whole part of the world when St. Louis was founded was called the Illinois Country. They didn't use the term Louisiana for this part of the world yet. It was the Illinois Country. So pretty much everything between what's now Arkansas and probably Iowa along the Mississippi River would be called the Illinois Country. Most people lived on the east side of the river because that's where the best farmland was. But that was the colonial term for this part of the world.
Next map is from 1804 when St. Louis is under three flags, which is kind of a really fascinating part of our history.
I love that map because that map represents the city of St. Louis as it existed on one precise day, March 10th, 1804. And that was the day that St. Louis was Spanish, French, and American all on one day. And the cool thing about that map is it not only shows the streets and the rivers and the Mississippi River, but it shows every single building in St. Louis in 1804. So there's little squares. They're either gray or black, and each one of those squares represents a building, either a wood building or a stone building. So we get a pretty good idea of how many buildings there were in St. Louis, what they were made out of, where they were located on the different lots. So that is, I think, a really cool map.
Not a whole lot of people or houses in 1804, but then if we fast forward to 1837, we became a place, you know, where all the ships would stop.
This is a map that tells the story of the St. Louis Harbor. 20 years before this map was made, the first steamboats came to St. Louis, and that forever changed our city's economy. And what was happening by the 1830s is the riverfront in front of St. Louis was silting up. The river was dumping lots of sand and sediment right in front of where the arch is today, making it more difficult for steamboats to pull up to the levee, especially big, heavy boats that are filled with cargo. United States Army sent its a new, brilliant young Army officer who was also an engineer named Robert E. Lee. And that's the same Robert E. Lee who fought for the Confederacy. He came to St. Louis to solve the problem of the riverfront silting up, and he did. And within just a few years of his work here, not only did it clear away the riverfront, but the river had naturally washed away the largest island next to St. Louis called Duncan Island. And what Lee did essentially is he just redirected the force of the river using dikes to have the power of the river wash all the sand and sediment away.
Let's talk about the Gilded Age. Is the Gilded Age pretty much the period when the Campbell House and all of the other places started appearing on Lucas Place?
Yeah, so the Gilded Age, that's a term that Mark Twain coined. And he didn't intend it to be flattering. He meant it to be very disparaging and kind of a comment on the age. But it has stuck. And it's those years after the Civil War. I think the 1870s, 80s, into the 90s. Amazing amounts of money are generated. And of course, there's people like the Campbells who live in the house where I'm sitting who were very successful. And that resulted in the gilding, literally. Gilded fixtures, gilded frames. When people come here to the museum and they walk into the parlor and there's all this gold, I often ask if that is real gold. And the answer is Well, of course it is. It's the Gilded Age. Now, it's not solid gold, of course. And if you could take all that gold and melt it down, you'd get two big coins and that would be it. But it really was gold and it really was gilded.
The Campbell House is technically in downtown West, but at that time, would that have been almost extending out into the hinterlands, more of a suburb, or was that already the bustling city?
No. When this house was built in the 1850s, this was the far out suburbs. In fact, we're at 15th Street. And in 1850, the city limits was 18th Street. So we were just barely inside the city limits. The city was growing that way. And eventually, of course, they would be extended. And by 1900, this house was in the heart of it. But in the Gilded Age era, this was the beautiful suburbs with the big trees and the wide streets. And the hustle and bustle of the city was all down towards the river. Of course, it wasn't meant to stay that way, and it wouldn't stay that way forever. And of course, now the city and downtown has swallowed this house up. So a lot of changes.
You're the only one left on that street.
Only one. Yeah.
Yeah. A map of the sewer system, which I think is really interesting because, yeah, all that green, because, you know, we think of everything being so glamorous back in the day. But I mean, people were throwing their chamber pots out in the street and then walking. Or I mean, it was disgusting. So
if you could go back in time, I think people would be shocked at how bad everything smelled all the time. Yeah. It was animals and it was smells that were used in industry. And that particular map, which actually comes from the St. Louis Public Library collection, when I saw that map for the first time, I was like, wow, this map has got to be in the book. Because not only is it beautiful with all that color on it, but it tells a great story. And that map was actually made for a convention here in St. Louis, the 12th annual convention of the American Health Association. So we think that of being a modern thing, but it goes way back. And in 1884, they had their annual convention here in St. Louis, and a series of maps were created that shows how St. Louis was growing and progressing in a healthy way. And what that map shows is how many of the city residents had access to running water in their house and sewers. Certainly, most of the city in 1884 didn't have running water and sewers, but it was starting to spread west. And so that's what you saw on that map. All that green was the kind of the snake of the water and sewer system as it makes its way out from the center of the river. Yeah. And we actually see blue and yellow there. You know, that indicates that either blue, it only has water, or yellow, it only has sewer. So, you know, these things, they were separate systems and they didn't grow at the same rate or pace. So sometimes you would have a water system for a few years, but the sewer hadn't come that way yet, or vice versa. So it tells kind of an interesting story and something that we take for granted that most people in that era just simply didn't have.
I think some of the sewer pipes are still original too, which...
I think a lot of them are. Lot of them are.
You've got Shaw's Garden too, but also maps that showed kind of the distribution of the population and the diversity in the city.
Yeah, so that's the maps that were made with data from the 1930 census, you know, where you came from, if you were born in another country, how much you pay a month for rent. And the main map that I highlight in that section is the redlining map. It was the map that established certain neighborhoods where Black St. Louisans were allowed to own property, literally outlined in red pencil, these districts where city officials and real estate agents essentially conspired to enclose Black citizens. You know, they couldn't buy outside of those neighborhoods. So it's a terrible story. And I think it's even more powerful to think of that when you see that laid out on a map. You know, here someone is the city of St. Louis and they are creating these areas and literally creating boundaries that will keep part of its population apart from everyone else.
That's Andy Hahn, Executive Director of the Campbell House Museum and author of Mapping St. Louis, A History of the Gateway City in 40 Rare Maps. He was a guest on Book Chat with Debbie Monterey and St. Louis Public Library.